So today we're gonna have Bruce. How do you say your last name, Bruce? Bruce
Treader.
Bruce Treader on the podcast here, and Bruce, why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, first of all, Adam, we've known each other for a long time, so wow. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I'm an avid cyclist.
Okay.
And so I've been a lifelong avid cyclist. And years ago, actually, I was stopped by a car pulled up behind me on a road in Virginia. And a woman rolled down her window and she said, "Hey, I just want to let you know I can't see you." And my first thought was argue. But then I told myself, just shut up. Don't say anything, because you cannot argue yourself into being seen.
Right.
And the bottom line was, the woman said, "Hey, wear brighter clothes." And I was wearing a pure white, chalk white cycling shirt, real cycling jerseys, and black cycling shorts. And I could certainly see what she meant about when I'm in the shade, you know, going from shade to bright.
Right.
So I thought, okay, from now on, and it wasn't exactly from then on, but pretty closely after that, I would just look for brightly colored clothes to wear when I was cycling. And all that I could find were just straight, full-on colors, just a bright orange, a blaze orange, or a bright green, but nothing that had any style to it. So I thought, if I can't find it, why don't I make it? So that's what I've been up to.
Okay. So you're involved with a couple different cycling companies at this point, right? Or cycling clothing companies at this point, right? So you got VOMAX, and how do you say the second one?
It's Brights.
Brights,
yeah.
And that's B-R-E-I-T-Z, exclamation point for anybody.
Exactly.
That's reading at home. So why don't we dive into those really quick here? And first, let's talk about Brights, because that seems to be something that you're super interested in, because it was kind of an on-site involvement for you, where I guess you kind of need to for people that don't know what that issue is, I guess explain why we're looking to be seen a little bit more on the road, right? Like, why cyclists even ride on the road? Because that's something that I get into conversations with people all the time, is like, why even ride on the sidewalk or ride on a bike path? Or for people that aren't educated in that, what's the reasoning behind it, I guess?
Well, I love riding on the road.
Right.
I've done it since I was a younger kid than I am now. And it's, so why ride on the road? Well, the road is where we kind of naturally belong. And what's happened, though, is a lot of people have migrated. I talk to people at bike shows, and they'll say that and you probably see it in your own business,
right?
That people are migrating from the road to off-road, so to trail riding or doing gravel riding, which is more aggressive trail riding,
right?
Like a mountain biking, road biking hybrid type of a sport. But people uniformly say that they are scared to be on the road because they are not seen by riders. And visibility, in my mind, visibility is our first line of defense for cyclists and also for runners, anybody who uses the road for athletic activity.
Okay.
And so that's what got me started in this business. And
So what's different about Brights, I guess? What makes them different than a regular cycling jersey, or, like, to your point, that bright orange, like almost hunting colored, you know, outfit that you see some people wearing just so that they can make sure they'd be seen? Because going into this, I hadn't heard of Brights, and I mean, I'm not sure what the benefit is, and I think the listener definitely, you know, could benefit from hearing that a bit.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Adam, you asking those questions makes my heart almost jump out of my chest, because it's a cool concept. You know, it's an excellent question. And the thing about Brights is, you know, when I was wearing these bright orange or bright green jerseys, it's like a younger kid said to me, you know, it's like putting on a hunter's outfit to go out on the road. Well, hunter's outfits, I don't really see a lot of hunter's outfits going down a runway, a fashion runway. And maybe they do somewhere. I don't really know where.
Yeah.
But I thought, what if we could use bright colors and add some style, so add some design to the colors, you know? And also, reading up on, actually, one of the guys at VOMAX recommended that I look up or read about how colors work in our brain, and so how we're able to conceptualize or visualize, or how color distinguishes itself in our brains and stands out. And the thing is, using colors that are complementary but also a pose, and then I also set them off with some dark lines so that you can see a separation in the colors so they don't become muddy. And it actually is using a bit of science into how colors work. And so I add style, you know, shapes. I've got pictures or, you know, drawings that I've done of cyclists, men and women cyclists, images of legs, runners' legs on the backs of the jerseys. So it looks really cool. And then, you know, we'll have things. I'll have some text on some of the jerseys, especially the cycling jerseys. You know, that, for example, I'll say on the first jersey that I did was a bright green jersey, so neon green, and then it has a lighter green arrow pointing to the left, so to indicate the cars, you know, to stay to the left.
Right.
And in the arrow, I write 3 feet, and then in the pocket below, thanks. So it's about working together with drivers. I mean, we all share the road. So how can we do this in a polite manner, you know, get the message across? And so far, since I've been wearing those jerseys, especially in the warmer weather, I'll get thumbs up from drivers. When I would usually get some digit. It usually wasn't
the
thumb.
Yeah, you usually get flipped off or you get pushed off the road. I mean, it's happened to a lot of people.
Exactly.
That, yeah, right.
It happens all the time. People just start screaming. You go, you know, hey, you all do this. And it's just you all. I'm just one guy here.
Right.
But, you know, so it's about injecting style into what we're wearing, and then just starting, you know, taking some stuff and going, all right, look, this is going to be a conversation with cyclists and also with runners. In order to start that conversation, you got to say hi, like you said, hi, Bruce.
Right.
By the way, what's your last name? Oh, yeah, right. Okay,
right,
got it.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you got to start the conversation organically.
Right.
And so the way I'm doing that is, okay, I'm going to take colors visually. That's how the conversation starts. And now, what am I going to hear from people? And already I'm starting to get feedback from people about design, and we're just starting to sell the stuff. So,
right. So how long has Bright's been a company? How long has it been in existence?
Geez, just a little over a year, year and a half. You know, when I actually got an LLC. So
okay.
Not very long.
So what goes into starting a company like that? Like, how do you get that thing off the ground? I mean, you're in the initial stages of it right now. I mean, it takes a while to get a company rolling, but what steps did you have to take to make sure that thing got off the ground and the way you, like, the product actually represents what you want?
Yeah. Well, first thing is look at, is there anything else like that out there?
And
the answer was no. So I said, okay, looks like there's a niche. Then as far as developing a company, then going through the process of establishing an LLC, so a limited liability corporation.
Right.
And so, you know, go through a lawyer and get that done. And then come up with a name, you know, a brand name. And Bright's wasn't the first name that I had. I had a name. The first idea was Glow, and I didn't really like it all that lot that much. But I had a whole bunch of them, and I settled on Glow. Then I checked in with a trademark lawyer, and he said he did a little deeper research than I was able to do.
Right.
And he said, by the way, that's a Gloria Vanderbilt mark. You might not want to use that. Well, no kidding.
Right.
So I said, okay. And so I was at home with my girl, Gretchen, and we were talking, and I said, all right, we got to come up with a name now. And it took me a while to come up with Glow, and within a half an hour, I said, all right, I want something that has a hard consonant, so B, something like T, something that has some grit to it, a name that has grit and also indicates what we're doing. And so we came up with Bright's, which is a German-sounding name. I'm German, from a German background.
There you go. Okay.
And it's got some oomph to it, you know, Bright's, instead of something else that would be, you know, less attractive or less.
I would have never guessed that it was spelt like that until, like, but I mean, I guess you saying, like, it's from a German base, like, is that why it's spelt like that? Is that what?
Yeah, natürlich.
Okay.
Yeah, ich ein bisschen Deutsch benutzen. So, yeah, habe ich das so gemacht. Yeah. So, Bites. Yeah, das klingt ganz gut.
I'm sure it sounds real good. it sounds much better when you say it than if I say it. So, I guess that makes a lot of sense. So is the goal for this company is like safety specifically, or what's the deal with Bright's versus other clothing companies, right? Like, I know we're talking about, like, that's how the idea started for you, but what's different about it, I guess?
Well, the difference is the style in it, first of all. So
okay.
just the overall look. So you're not wearing just a blaze orange or bright green shirt. There's something that looks cool to it. And the reason for the coolness is not just, you know, to look cool, but also, I mean, it's about really the whole package. You know, when you go out and cycle, so what's your favorite sport to do? I mean, of course, I know this because I've known you for a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
But I have to ask
just
you.
In case anyone's wondering, we met 5 seconds ago before the podcast started here. But I don't know, man. I like riding bikes. I like skiing. But I mountain biking, if I'm picking a cycling activity, is really where I'm at.
Okay.
I actually – so this is a good conversation to have because I'm not a huge fan of road biking for a couple reasons, and one of which is that I get pushed off the road a lot, you know, and I've had that before where I'd be on a training ride and I'd get – literally knocked over by, and it's happened 2 or 3 times now where I've been pushed off the road by somebody's mirror, just kind of edged off, not hit, but, and I mean, there's things that happen that are much worse to people. And that's what, it's not just that keeps me off the road bike, but that's definitely a big part of it. And I know a ton of people, and like to your point earlier, like that's why people are buying gravel bikes right now. They're buying those bikes so that they can still ride their road bike that they like so much, but go a little bit further with it, you know, and get away from...
And get away. That's the big thing.
Right. Yeah. So it sounds like Bright's is kind of trying to combat the getting away part of it, and you'll be able to do what you want to do pretty much.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, come back to the road.
Okay.
It can be a welcoming spot. It depends where you are. In my town, it's a pretty rough spot, Westboro. But, yeah, but, you know, the reason I asked you what's your favorite sport, so you love mountain biking.
Right.
Right. Okay. When you put on your stuff, so you go, okay, I'm going for a ride now.
Right.
When you put on your stuff, how do you feel? Before you're going to go for a ride, you put on your stuff. How do you feel?
I feel ready to go. I feel like I'm prepared, yeah.
Prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, when I put my go-no-go threshold is if I put the stuff on, I'm going. And when I, you know, that's if I put my stuff on, I'm going to go.
Okay.
But when I put on something that's bright, you know, I go, it actually feels cool, you know, to put this on. Like, for example, I had a skin suit made that has my colors on it. It kind of advertises that my logo is a little bit bigger on that.
Yep.
But the first time I put that on and went for a ride, I ripped it. I mean, I just went out and I went, oh, this is really cool.
Yeah.
And so it's about – it's the full package. You know, yeah, being visible on the road, but also that feeling of, all right, I'm throwing this stuff on. And I'm going to go do something that I really love doing. So it's inspirational, too, to us as athletes.
Right, and I think I agree. I think there's something to that being fully prepared. It's like with anything, though. I mean, you show up to work and you don't have all your shit together. It's just you don't feel like you're gonna do a good job that day, you know. And you don't feel like with riding. I mean, that's a great example. If I don't have my bike in the shape it needs to be in, and I feel like something's wrong, or you hear a noise, like we get that all the time in the back shop. Is like hear a noise, and I'm like, in reality, like when I think about it logically, like. That noise isn't stopping you from doing anything. Like, it doesn't actually make any difference, but it totally makes a difference when you're riding. Like, in terms of how you feel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? Just a clanging of a cable or something like that. On my mountain bike, you know, I've got cables on on top.
Yep.
And you hear that, and I go, I got to stop that now.
Right.
And find a way to stop that. Oh, yeah. And on the road bike, when I don't hear anything, you know, and I'm cranking it in the saddle, I go, this is a great sound. And I get, and I enjoy the silence of, I mean, hearing the wind, but not hearing anything mechanical on the bike. I go, the bike is in great shape. And so I dig it. But then it's, you know, it just adds that extra shot of inspiration.
Okay. What got you into road biking? I think a lot of people get into road biking because they're runners and their knees give out, or that's actually the only reason I can think of that somebody's ever come into the shop and said, hey, can I have a road bike? I mean, or their friends are road bikers. You know, like those are really the only two reasons. I'm sure there's a million other reasons, but those are the two main reasons. What got you into road biking? You said you've been riding forever, right?
Yeah, nearly forever. I mean, wasn't quite there when the sun was created, but not too long after. And, but when I think, you know, I started out when I was, you know, I think I started riding a bike when I was about 6 or 7 years old. I had my first real big crash when I was 7, ran into a car that was on the, you know, coming out behind a fence and bang, and in the hospital for that. But my bike, when I call myself a younger kid, you're never going to be as young as you are right now, so enjoy your youth. That's the way I look at it. But my bike was my car. That's how I got around. I went to my friends, you know, visited with them, and got out, went to the store on my bike. But then when I graduated high school, I had the terrific fortune to go on a bike touring trip in France. So on a road bike, you know, that was set up for touring. So we carried our own bags, tent, and the whole thing. And that was just so cool to be able to travel through France We went through the Loire Valley, so through central and northwestern France, and just to see what you can see on the bike and feel what you can feel, it was just terrific. So from then on, it was okay. I just love being on the road, and then just translated that into just regular training, just to stay in, you know, just to stay in shape. I don't race, but I'm out on the bike every day.
Okay. What kind of bike you riding?
I ride a Trek Madone,
okay,
road bike.
Yep.
Yeah. And then I've got a Trek 6500 mountain bike that's probably 15 or so years old. That's my beater bike. It's actually as my trainer right now. I take off of work really early in the morning, so I do the trainer, which I don't. I mean, I'm looking at
nobody
the clock.
Likes it. Yeah.
No, I'm looking at the clock, watching TED Talks.
Right. Exactly.
That's, I'm learning how to be smart on this in this interview.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Work in progress.
It's good. I mean, it honestly, like, that's the thing where, like, everybody that I don't know a single person that gets on a bike trainer is like, this is really fun.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, it takes all, it's like running on the treadmill. I mean, I honestly probably even worse than running on the treadmill, because there are people that still enjoy the movement of running, but
yeah,
it's not the same being on a trainer versus being on a bike.
So
that's Brights. What about VOMax? What's your involvement with VOMax? How long have you been involved with those guys?
Yeah, right. Well, I've been involved with VOMax for just over a year. So I was just getting, you know, I just had three pieces of clothing. I think it was three shirts and a pair of shorts that I made with another company, and it worked out very well. And then I was introduced through a contact I'd made. A guy goes, you know, why don't you check out VOMax? And I had earlier and went with somebody else, and I said, okay, I'll give him a shot again. And the guy who was the CEO at the time was hot on what I was doing, you know, with the design. I mean, anyway, one thing led to another where I produced some stuff through VOMax, and then started to get myself prepared to launch it and sell it. And then the company got sold. And when the new owner came in, and very quickly we got to know each other, and I mean, right out of the box, he said, would you like to be more involved and take on part ownership? And I said, sure. So I'm invested into VOMax. And then it wasn't just because VOMax the way it was VOMax with the promise that it has. Because quite honestly, VOMax's name, especially in this area, in Western Massachusetts, has kind of lost its name. We're a Northampton company, but we've been struggling. And for a variety of reasons. But bottom line, it's like a phoenix coming out of a fire. We have to do better, and we will be doing better. And we already are doing better. But it's about how do we connect with real cyclists and with the cycling world? Because it's such a strong community in this part of the state, in this part of the country. And so we're, you know, the line that we have, I mean, we were talking with our marketing company, Hampshire Marketing, and Ethan specifically, the guy who heads up Hampshire, about where VOMax is and where it's going. And we said, you know, not so much look at us now, but we are we're moving in a different direction, and you know, look at us now, and so it's taking the foundation of the company, so the products that we were providing, and then looking, all right, how can we make those better? Because some of them are tried and true and work just great, but how can we improve on that and actually make a mark in the cycling world, cycling and running world, and even beyond that? But cycling is the heart of our market.
Okay, so that's where you guys are focused. What are some of the struggles you guys have gone through as a company, and what are some of the things that have changed in the last year?
Okay, we're going into the vault now.
I want to hear it.
That's what we're here for. And
right.
You know what, Adam? We're dysfunction. Dysfunction was our foundation.
Okay.
All right, dysfunction doesn't work. And so it's about, all right, realigning how we work together. I mean, we have a small core of people up front, so that do sales, do production, and then we have a terrific fleet of people in on the factory floor who actually put our garments together. But all of us have to work together. In order to be successful, we're going to have to work together very effectively and efficiently. That efficiency was not there. We're just starting to turn the corner. I mean, I like it. The metaphor that I use is it's like a glacier was moving with a certain inertia, not budging, not moving. But now we're sort of entering the water, you know, the water phase where you hear cracking and change. And then, of course, that glacier is going to change form from ice into water, which is where we want to be, nice and fluid, dynamic.
Right.
And and being in touch with what's going on in the cycling and in the sports world and where we can make a mark. And it's not about, okay, VOMax, you're going to go off and take off and do everything just for you. No, it's about how do we connect with the rest of the cycling and sports world and do it in a mutually beneficial manner. And so we're supporting other groups. We're involved with charitable organizations, and we're involved with stores. I mean, when I looked at Brights, the three missions that I had were, first of all, to make cyclists and runners more visible to cars. Second thing was to support the retail industry, so the brick and mortar industry, sports industry, that's being heavily impacted by online sales. And the thing about your bike shop, your ski shop, is the thing that makes you so valuable is people come in and ask. They can actually talk with you. They can get advice. They can buy something, and then when it needs to be repaired, go, yeah, that's one of ours, and we will work on it. It's that personal connection that you don't get, that you don't get from the online world. So how can we help to support that industry by, you know, right now we're in a period of transition between just pure brick and mortar and pure online. And the intermixing is kind of like that glacier idea where you have one form meeting another one.
Right.
When it does, there's usually some explosion. There's usually some kind of conflict.
Yep.
So it's about how can we work together to affect that change as effectively and efficiently for all of us. But that means that we're going to have to strap in and be along for the ride together, because it's not just going to be smooth sailing. You know, just go, okay, this is how, here's an idea and here's how we're going to make it work. It's how do we work together to make this work and continue to progress and then never take our foot off the gas as far as innovating. You know, how can we make this even better? And, you know, it's like any other, like the space industry. There are so many spinoffs from something like that you never would have thought of would be possible. And but with those, you know, then you go, okay, look, we don't even know where the future is, but let's focus on the present, make the best of that time, and then say, all right, we're in this together, right. And let's see where we can go. And I think it's, you know, doing that, no kidding, is living a dream.
Okay, so I've got kind of a couple questions. So I guess we'll go step by step here. One, how big of a company at this point is VOMax? Like, how many employees do you guys have? Like, what kind of organization are we talking about?
Yeah, we've got about 15 employees in Northampton.
Okay.
And so it's not very big right now, but
that's great, though. I mean, honestly, like, to me, like, so, and I think this is one of the things that's unique about the cycling and the ski industry to a certain extent is, like, small companies have a niche, right? Like, companies that feel homey to the consumer have a niche where they're more important than, say, a Pearl Izumi or a Rafa or one of these companies, you know, even though they claim to be cycling motivated and for the people, they're not employing locals. They're not really involved with the local community.
Oh yeah.
How do you guys differentiate yourself locally, especially in the last year, because it sounds like that's where most of the changes have been happening.
Oh yeah.
How do you guys really get involved with the locals? Like, how do you guys really, I guess, differentiate yourself as a company, as a clothing company? Because, like, as a retailer, there's 100 clothing companies that we could pick up and bring into the shop.
Oh, know? Yeah.
Right? So what makes you guys different?
Well, first of all, we are Western Massachusetts-based, right. And most of our employees, I mean, I'm kind of imported, exported, whatever, some kind of ported from Westboro, Massachusetts. So I'm on the pike. Fortunately, I'm going in an advantageous direction each way. I'm leaving, you know.
Right, you're west, going the right direction.
Having
yeah.
west in the morning and then east in the evening. But and then my partner, Raj, actually is down south in Kentucky. But I'm the one who's up here, you know, feet on the ground in Northampton. And then most of our employees, I mean, all of our employees are from the Northampton area, Northampton, Springfield area. So we're employing a lot of people locally,
right?
Local to us, and then regarding how are we interacting with our community? So far, I mean, we're just trying to interact well within our walls, and you know, make sure that we're as effective and efficient as possible, doing what we need to do, which is really it's the mission of everybody who in this line of custom work. It's delivering to the customer what they want, and doing it on time. And that was pointed out to me. I mean, it's something that's rather intuitive, but it was very explicitly mentioned to me at an event called Race Mania in Boston University in March, is a guy from a triathlon training company. It's called Peak Performance. Yep. And he asked me what I was up to. I mean, I was at my booth. People were, I had the bright stuff up, and people were coming to me. It was like a lure in the water for fish. And but I got out just a little bit to walk around for just a couple of minutes. I talked with this guy, and he goes, "You're in the right business." I said, "Really? Why?" He said, "Because people are not getting what they want, and they're not getting it on time." I go, "That's our mission. Just take that. That's flip right. that right around. That's the problem." But the problem was also points, once you've identified the problem, now you can identify a solution. And I thought that it was really succinct, a succinct way of looking at what we're doing. And that's what we need to do. And sometimes we've had trouble doing that, you know, giving the customer what they want and doing it on time. Because we deal with graphic designs that are sometimes complex, and sometimes the directions that we're given aren't exactly as clear as they could be. And then sometimes we make mistakes too. So it's about how do we narrow the opportunity to make mistakes and connect with the customers as effectively as possible so that we can deliver what they want. And when they get it, when we get it right, and we just had a customer in the other day who hand-picked up his stuff. He opens up the box, he goes, "This is cool."
Right.
Now, he even happened to use, the image that he used was a JPEG, so a photograph. Now, that doesn't transfer very clothing. But he goes, "But this is pretty cool." And I said, "Hey, you know, next year you could do, let's work on a graphic so you can really crisp that stuff up," because it wasn't very complex.
Right.
But just when you see something come to reality, like even when I saw my clothing come out, and I go, okay, I had seen what this looks like on a computer, but now when you bring it to reality, how's that going to look and how's it going to function? And also, I look at, all right, what are the changes I want to make? So...
Okay.
I think I went off track a little bit.
That's okay. This is a podcast. It's like I go on. You should hear some of the other ones that I do. Like especially the ones where it's by myself and I don't have anybody to keep me like on track. It goes into all kinds of stuff that doesn't even make sense. So I'm actually on the website right now, just kind of poking through here. Like, what's so VMX does specifically custom apparel, or do they do other stuff as well?
No, we do specifically custom apparel. We do custom. Yeah. Now that's a good question because we are going to be doing our own line of stuff.
Okay.
We're going to start. We've just last week launched an initiative where we're going to create our own line of products, and we're going to start with cycling, which is the heart of our business.
Right.
But yeah, we do custom design on pieces of clothing that have already where the patterns have already been set.
Okay.
And we're going to be changing some of that stuff. But right now, if you were to ask for a cycling jersey, you know, you'd be given a design, and then the opportunity to make. You'd be given a pattern, and then the opportunity to put whatever
you
design
kind of have your own
you
like template to work with.
We do.
And then you design your. We put in whatever logo. So, if Out of Podcast wanted a jersey, I'd send you the logo. And do you guys make that, or do I make it off of your template?
Well,
or does it go either way?
Yeah, it could go either way. I mean, if you say, oh, "Look, I'm not a graphic artist, but here's our logo, and here's what I like to see on the jersey." Our art department then could take it and could manipulate it so you get what you want. And so we're a full service organization regarding how we can develop design or put design on products that we already have, you know, on templates that we already have. Yeah.
So clothing's hard with every, I think, and that goes from regular everyday clothing to athletic clothing to ski clothing to obviously cycling clothing. It's extremely competitive. How do you guys source your materials? Where do you get your materials from in a manner that still allows you guys to be profitable as a company and allows you guys to have the highest possible quality? I mean,
yeah.
What's
well, we look at what's popular, what works really well, you know, in clothing and certain material. But a lot of our material comes from Italy. We use Borgini fabrics. And then different. There are different types of fabrics that they use, or that we use, and then we also have some fabrics that come from China or Taiwan. But they're all high performance sports, you know, wicking, cooling fabrics, and they actually feel really cool when you put them on. And we'll use either an individual fabric for a whole piece, or we'll use a mix of fabrics to make the piece. First of all, function as well as it possibly can. But also, some of these fabrics just look cool, you know. And then when you put you lay a design on them, they come out really sharp. So, It's we source them from all over. And actually, we're gonna, as we go into this new product phase, we're gonna be looking at, we've got, I mean, the previous management had suitcases full of fabrics just sitting there, and that they had gotten from wherever. So we're gonna pop that thing open and take a look and see what might work, make some stuff, ride it, test ride it, and see how this actually works. We have access to a competitive team that's interested in trying out our stuff. One of the guys on the team actually is going to be working with us part-time, so we're going to have a highly competitive cyclist working with us, and the kid's incredible. And so, it's going to be sourcing what really makes the most sense for us regarding performance.
I guess that's going to be a harder thing for people to understand that aren't in the industry. Because I get this question actually in the shop pretty often. You know, what's the difference in a cycling jersey versus wearing an Under Armour, whatever workout shirt? Like, why are people buying cycling clothing at this point? Why is that market even available? Obviously, there's the look thing. I think Brights has a good market and has an additional benefit because of the things that you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. But what makes it different? What are the things that you guys look for in a material?
Yeah, well, functionality. First of all, with cycling, it's like in the running world, you know, you want something that's wicking, that keeps you cool, right, you know, in the summer months. And then in the wintertime, something that's actually going to keep you warm. But mostly it's for cooling. And then in addition to that, for cycling, if you're really going to, you know, cycle as an enthusiast or as an avid cyclist, you want something that's rather snug fitting to your body. So that, because wind makes a huge difference. I mean, the hill is always going to be the hill. You can't say, I want that hill to decrease by a couple of degrees. Right. That's not happening. But wind is the kicker. Wind is the real variable when you're out there. And, I mean, I noticed just this last weekend, we had a day that was 60 to 70 degrees, and I'm out there in just shorts, you know, in a short sleeve shirt. The next day, the temperature dropped, I don't know, 20 or 30 degrees, whatever it was. It was quite different. But I had a windbreaker on, and I could see that even though my output as far as energy was at least the same, if not more, the second day, my speed was definitely down because I had a windbreaker that was working like a sail that wasn't flapping around too much, you know, wasn't huge, but still, any little bit, you know, does affect your performance. So it's about having those, you know, the performance capability, not just in the fabric, but also in a bike jersey. In the back of it, you have 2 to 3 pockets, usually 3 pockets, and you can put stuff in that. You know, I don't eat much when I'm on the road, but but I eat properly before I go. I've learned how to do that, and then but that lasts me just fine. But you know, you put stuff in you can have stuff in your pockets. If you don't want to carry a bag that has, you know, a spare tube or something, you can put that in the pocket in your jersey. But it's just about having that, you know, very functional wear on you. And like with the shorts, Lycra shorts, you know, some people make fun of those, but man, I'll tell you what, you can make fun of them until you put them on.
And yeah, totally. No. So we had Scott Smith on the podcast last week, and we were talking about this for a little bit. We're like, when we were, because we started riding seriously when we were 15, 16, coming from riding BMX bikes, which obviously you're just wearing regular stuff pretty mm-hmm. much, you know, and you're just hanging out with all your friends. And then you go and all of a sudden one day you show up and you're wearing spandex and you kind of feel like you're this outcast. And you don't want to get picked on for wearing cycling clothes. But to that point, it makes a huge difference. Like, it's not like huge, it's not even remotely close to wearing whatever else you could be wearing. I mean, it's just the proper gear makes you, and honestly, even if I'm wearing a jersey that feels a little too tight in weird places or the arms are too short or whatever, like, it's huge. And I think you mentioned that in the beginning, and I think that's a very underrated point in terms of what makes you feel good when you're on the bike, because you don't want to feel like an idiot when you're on the bike. You want to feel like you know what you're doing, and you want to feel like you're out there doing something that you really enjoy doing.
Absolutely.
Right? You know? Yeah. And I think that's something that people will, and as people do it, and that is something that is a little ignorant, I guess, because people really only say that stuff when they've never actually ridden a bike to that point. Yeah, if you go and you're like going grocery shopping in your spandex, it's probably not the best tool for the job, but yeah. I think for cycling, there's definitely a benefit to it. So hopefully maybe that'll educate a couple people and we'll stop hearing so much about why is this guy wearing tights all the time.
Yeah, whatever, well, you know what? Exactly. But then to the point of mountain biking, how many mountain bikers do you see in spandex?
Yeah, some. Not a lot. Yeah, right. Exactly. It's the guys that are racing or the guys that are roadies and actually have a mountain bike.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I was down at Cycle Fest the last couple of years, and I don't know. Have you ever been down to Cycle Fest in North Carolina?
No. What's that like?
It's the sort of East Coast version of Interbike. So Interbike is mostly show. You know, so you see mostly bicycles, but all kinds of bicycling equipment.
Right. To take
all indoor. It's in Las Vegas.
Right.
And then they have a demo area, which is like the surface of the moon. And it's not – they're moving to Reno, though. I'm happy they're moving to Reno. Yeah.
I'm going to go now that they're moving. I haven't gone in since 2000. I was actually looking at some pictures from Interbike last time I went, which is in 2011, I think. And they were still – it's cool. Vegas is great. But, like, you don't get work done when you're there. And not enough people actually go there, get some work done. And I think I think the Reno thing is going to add a little bit of legitimacy to the show itself, and it'll kind of keep it relevant as we go forward.
I hope so, but the biggest thing is going to be the demo area is going to be a North Star ski.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Ski resort.
Right.
And so that should be really nice. It should be a real mountain biking surface instead of the surface of the moon. But Cycle Fest is the East Coast, the group that puts on Emerald Bay, that puts on Interbike, now has this East Coast event, and it's the only, I think this was the second year in 2017, and I went to both of them, and it's at this National Whitewater Training Center, so it's for people who are Olympic kayakers, you know, going through a course, whitewater course. Yeah, they've got this gigantic pool, this gigantic pond that is absolutely glass still until they turn on the motor. And then all of a sudden it's full of white water and they can crank it as wild as they want and change how the water flows and all this stuff. But anyway, it's back off the road, and they have a whole network of mountain biking trails. And the first year there were people with road bikes. Pinarello was there. Yep. I had to get on a Pinarello. I mean, that's what Chris Froome rides. And
it's an expensive ass bike for somebody. I guess I shouldn't swear that much. I think we're not. I shouldn't swear that much. Anyway,
it still is expensive though.
It's an expensive bike, regardless. Yeah, whether I'm swearing or not. Like it's a very. I mean, those bikes range, for those of you that don't know,
there's a lot of zeros.
$5,000 is the cheapest one you can get.
Lots of zeros.
I mean, we thought about it years ago, like bring them in as a line, and then we're like, realistically, how many people are buying bikes?
Exactly.
Because like $5,000 is where they start. That's not the meat of their market. But anyway.
So all these road, you know, there was a combination of road cycle and mountain bike companies. And then this year it was forget the road bikes. They had electric bikes, which were really cool to ride. I don't know if you've ridden one, but really cool to ride.
Yeah.
But mostly mountain bikes because they have all these trails right there. But I would look at what these people were wearing. No one was wearing spandex. They're wearing loose shorts, you know, and they're also not wearing bike jerseys because I think that makes them – they feel like they're then associated with the road world, and there's sort of this conflict between the road world and the mountain world. So they wear a totally different jersey, which, by the way, we in VOMAX don't service yet. We don't provide stuff for them. We go, that's a market. See, it's growing.
It's a huge market. That's our best category by far.
Well, we're going to have to talk then we have to develop products. And the thing that we want to do is not just make whatever is out there, but what's really going to work. I mean, when you do something like that, like developing a car, develop any kind of product, you know, even this cup that's in front of me, which is a fantastic piece. It's made by Starbucks, and it's one of the best engineered pieces. It's made by a coffee company, but it's one of the best engineered things I've ever had. Very few parts, totally reliable. But if I were to say, okay, I'm going to make that square and full of glass, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to work, you know? But the same thing in the cycling world, you have to, if you're going to make a jersey, you better have a place where you can enter it, you know, over your head and then put your arms through. So there are certain basic things that you have to do regarding the structure, but then what can you do that's along those lines, but then make it different where people go, ooh, that's really cool. You know, and how do we bend that curve a little bit? And it's about bending the curve, not to, okay, I'm going to attach myself because now you're irrelevant. You're making something that, like you look in fashion magazines, right? And you see these people walking down with a poodle-shaped shoulders and whatever. I mean, I'm not.
No, you're not that far off. Yeah.
But you see this stuff, you go, where did you ever see that on the road? I mean, like, and I'm not talking about the road, like road bike, like on the sidewalk.
In real life.
In real life. You never see that stuff. Yeah. But it's, I think for them, it's just to say, ooh, we're way out there. And if you wear our stuff, like our tank top or golf shirt, you know, it's along those lines. This is what we're thinking. But I think in our world, it's about making stuff. Okay, what can we do? Like, for example, in skiing. And I haven't skied on these yet, but I have boarded on. But snowboarding brought a new world to skiing in shaped skis.
Totally.
So it used to be, right. I'm used to skiing on the flat boards that are like the boards on this table right here. But I've never been on shaped skis yet. But that's a total, so I don't think that the snowboard world was trying to influence skiing, but skiers went, wait a second, this tech is going to help people carve turns a lot better. But it's along the same line. You know, you're going in a, it's a snow sport. It's something that goes on the snow.
Well, it lights a fire under somebody else,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. So I would love to be on the end of that, you know, on the front of that arrow going, okay, what are we going to do in cycling and cycling wear that's going to be a little bit different to take it in a different direction, but where people go, oh, yeah, it's definitely cycling stuff, and that's cool. So, yeah, I think that's where we're headed to in the future.
Okay. And just getting into some mountain bike or getting into
and
some...
And having an effect on the mountain bike.
One thing I think, and this is like, I may be ignorant to why this hasn't happened yet or what the reasoning is, but why don't cycling clothing companies specifically make clothing for people that just want to ride their bikes? That's my only kind of question, I guess, that doesn't have to, like, and you don't have to have like a solid, this is the reason, and there might not be an answer, you know, and maybe just people aren't doing it yet. But so in a bike shop, and I think this goes for most bike shops, we're primarily a mountain bike store. That's what we sell the most. But, you know, we say that because that's the section we focus on the most. But overall, we probably sell more hybrids, more cheap mountain bikes, more commuter bikes for people that just want to have a bike, right? Why isn't there clothing for those kind of people? What do they need? What's different about it, I guess? That's a market that I'm not – there's nothing for me to sell to Joe Schmo that just wants to ride his – and Joe Schmo, I'm not like – Joe Schmo's still a cool guy. Like, he doesn't have to be lame. But, like, why don't we have something for that guy? Because, honestly, like, if I'm just cruising – and this is me. Like, I ride my bike a lot. Like, I'm okay. I'm not a pro, but I ride my bike pretty aggressively. If I was just riding my bike on the bike path, there is no way in hell I'd wear what I wear when I go mountain biking or what I wear when I go road biking. Mm-hmm. So what's the holdup, I guess? What's missing?
Well, we're going to need to talk.
Okay.
We're going to need to talk because I tell you what, I agree with you entirely that we should be developing a line of stuff. And it's not just us going, okay, what is that going to take? I mean, there are plenty of times where, you know, you were lying earlier about going to the grocery store.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to suit up in all the Lycra stuff. Now, if I'm having to be on the road and then go back, you know, go to the store along the way, fine. But I'm not going to go, okay, I'm going to get ready to go out on the bike now. No, I have clipless pedals on my mountain bike, which is my utility, you know, beater bike. And I'll put flip-flops on, you know, and bathing suit or whatever, and a T-shirt, and I will wear a helmet. But get out on the road and I go, okay, this is fine. But there should be something. And for example, at VO Max, we make what's called a tech tee, so a technical T-shirt. It means it's a T-shirt that's either crew neck or, you know, a women's V-neck. But it has a sport wicking, you know, performance material. But why not put pockets on that? And we can do that. Or why not, you know, do something along those lines where you go, okay, this is just throw this thing on and just go out. Go out on the trail, you know,
Just make a functional piece with something that people that ride bikes on the bike path or ride to the grocery store need.
Right. Yep.
Without it being $1 million, because I think that's a hurdle too. Because like there are and honestly, like this is the reason that we sell more mountain bike clothing than we do road bike clothing, is because it does translate a little more. Like I'll be kitted out for a mountain bike ride and I'll take my helmet off and go into a store.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't do the same. I'd think twice at least about walking into a store in full spandex after finishing a long road ride.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think it's because that clothing translates a little bit better. And there are companies that do an okay job at it, but to that point, like the stuff's expensive and it doesn't have to be expensive. Why wouldn't I, as customer A, go, why don't I just buy an Under Armour t-shirt because it's sweat wicking still, you know, like, and I feel like I'm plugging Under Armour during this podcast and I'm not, like, I don't think you should go buy a bunch of Under Armour shit. Like, I mean, it's fine, but there's no reason to spend all that extra money unless you're like, oh, I just really want to support cycling. But the reality is most people want something that works for the things that right. they like doing. I know tons of people that just really, really enjoy riding their bikes that just want something a little more functional to wear, you know?
I got to tell you what we got to do is, and this is a plan of action, is to talk with people who are casual cyclists and go, what would be good? What would you like to wear? What, right. What are the features?
Yeah, because I don't think I necessarily know either.
I don't. I mean, yeah. You know, what I throw on when I do that isn't quite, I think, what people would really want to
right.
do. I don't think that people would go, you know, casual riders would say, I'm going to go in my bathing suit.
Right.
But, and by the way, it's not the French Riviera bathing suit.
Yeah. Right, it's a full
size. Like, it's more like a surfer.
Yeah, it's a surfer. A board short, we're going to call it for this.
Right, exactly. There you go, board shorts. Yeah. So, I think, we should definitely talk about that. And you know, among ourselves about a plan or an approach toward people who are casual cyclists. You know, hey, what could we put together that works for you? What price points make sense? You know, what would you be willing to spend? Because then with that, then you can say, okay, what can we do? How can we actually put these together? And I think it would be a lot of fun because I got to tell you, the more people we get cycling, whether they cycle on trail, wherever they cycle, at some point they're going to have to interact with a car. And so
right.
the more that people actually experience what that's like and go, whoa, that, you know, hopefully this doesn't happen to them right out of the gate, but wow, that mirror just went by me real close. Do I get that close to cyclists too when I'm out on the road?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's that because
it's making people aware of it.
Making people aware, yeah. I mean, I look at cycling has helped me be so much more clued in as a driver, not just looking for other cyclists or runners, but when I just look at the motion of a car. For example, a car comes to a stop at an intersection, a stop sign, let's say. Mostly stop sign, because stop lights, people are pretty good about that. You don't see many people running lights. But you do see people creep through stop signs quite frequently. And you look at, okay, are they making eye contact? Where are their wheels pointed? You know, are they pointed toward me? Are they going to be making a left turn? Are they making a right turn? How aggressively did they come to that stop? Are they starting to, you know, are they starting to move before you've actually crossed in front of them? And I'll look for a bailout spot, which is always behind. I'll go around the back of the car. And I've had to do that sometimes. It's about, you know, being aware of what's going on and then translating that to driving. And so I look for those same signs when I'm driving to see if somebody can pull out. And I'll tell you what, a lot of times where I get that gut feeling, I think this guy's going to, or, you know, this person's going to go.
Yeah, you kind of know. It's weird, isn't it?
And you see it and you go, I knew that was going to happen, but I'm not, you know, smashing the
and
brakes.
You kind of get pissed, but you know already, so you're not as like, kind of tense, but you know, it's
and
weird.
It's the same way whether I'm riding or whether, you know, whether I'm on my bike or whether I'm in a car. So, yeah, it adds that extra sort of sixth sense to what you're doing. It just helps to improve your awareness.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's something that needs to be done. There's some companies that do an okay job at it, but I think that that's and I think the biggest thing, and I think the way that companies are successful at it is what you said earlier, is talking to people, is listening to the customer. Like I think with that, and that's with, this will be my business tidbit for the podcast, like listening to the customer is the single, and it's like the customer always right, that saying is not necessarily true in, especially in retail. Like it's definitely tough because there's a lot of different factors that go into it. Like people are people. That's the way it is. But listening to the customer and listening to that feedback is the single most important thing for a business that sells directly to a consumer, or even to directly to retail. Like for you guys, like, I mean, listening to us. So say we're the shop that's buying from you guys, listening to the feedback in and not taking it as criticism in a negative way, I guess, but looking at it like, what can I take out of this? There's been conversations that I've had, I think, with people that I don't agree with anything they're saying, but they say one thing that I think, okay, if they're even able to say this, then there must be something that I'm doing that's showing that, you know, like it's a weird thing, but I think you're right. I think that is one of the most important things. Ethan's gonna kill me if I don't talk into my mic a little bit better here.
You know, and to that point, because we're a custom factory or a custom business,
right?
We don't have to say, okay, we're going to make 10,000 of these things and try to sell them.
Yeah,
we can take the feedback and be adaptable. So learn and adapt from the feedback that we get. And I mean, we can't turn on a dime to say, well, we're going to change the template or the shape of whatever the clothing is, whatever the piece is. But can we be adaptable and be more fluid? Absolutely. And I think that's a really great place to be. And then using, taking advantage of the internet to be able to connect with people. I mean, the way I look at the internet is a great way to meet people, you know, live. And like here we are, right? I mean, we didn't meet through the internet, but it's through this. All right, we're going to do this
through an internet guy. I mean, Ethan's.
But right, yeah. But so you go, okay. But the cool thing is when you're actually face to face and you're meeting people, and it's not just tapping on keys. It's really interactive.
It's got to be a balance, yeah.
Totally different type of relationship. And so if we can do that in this world, which that gives me really good goosebumps about, you know, exciting stuff about, all right, look, we can connect with people and then find out what is it they want, what is it that's going to work. And by the way, don't hang up on us now. You know, even if you get the stuff, you go, you're thrilled with it. What is it that can always make it better? How can we continue to move forward? And right. That, to me, I find really, that's exciting.
Right, and that's huge. So there's a couple things I do want to get into. So earlier you had mentioned healthy cooking for athletes. What's you're involved in this somehow? I don't know how. I was told that this is something that you have a passion about. What's the deal? Like, explain this to me a little bit more. How can we eat healthier? What's the program here?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm the product of two doctors. My mom and dad were both doctors.
Okay,
and so there was always a medical interest in our family. And I was not interested in medicine, but I certainly am interested in keeping my body in decent shape. And then when you look at nationally, internationally, that's the incredible cost of healthcare. And then you look around, you see hospitals going up left and right. That's not an indication that we as a population, nationally, statewide, nationally, or globally, are doing better about our health. And I look at what can we do to enable ourselves to be more empowered about taking care of our own health. And the two most important things, and this is not just me saying, this is from the CDC, the World Health Organization, the two primary contributors to health are diet, so what you eat, and I mean, it's like Herodotus said thousands of years ago, it's not that food is health, but nourishment. Nourishment is health. And not just the word food, but the whole package that goes into nourishment. But it's about eating and drinking, you know, nourishing yourself appropriately and not being nuts about it, but just doing it appropriately, and then also moving your body. I mean, we are born, you know, we were for the most part of our history as human beings, we were hunter-gatherers, which meant we had to move from place to place to be able to find our nourishment, you know, to find food. But we were on the move all the time, and now we're not. And then food is also readily accessible. And then the amount of good food, not so accessible, is so much processed stuff that's out there. So how can we take care of ourselves better? And the way that I do it is I show recipes, and I'm never saying it, this is a healthy recipe. That's a turnoff to people. It's like telling somebody.
It's annoying almost, yeah.
Exactly, and you'll hear sometimes, like I've been in the grocery store and someone will go, oh, they'll look at my basket and go, see a lot of green stuff, you know, that has stems on it. And go, you're eating healthy, right?
Right.
And I go, well, yeah, this is what I eat. You don't see stuff that were, you know, with plastic bags in my bag. And so it's about how to normalize that, but also provide people with the information that makes these preparing these foods as easy as possible and readily accessible. So I've created these picture book recipes where there's a picture for every step along the way. And the site that I put this stuff on is called Gotta Eat, Can't Cook. And so it's about putting stuff out. And then I've seen over the years, I've been putting stuff online, I think, for at least 10 years and more than that. And I've seen how my own diet has changed. Because for a while, for example, I didn't know that much about sugar. I thought, okay, throw sugar in coffee. Who cares? It's just sweet. You know, and there are calories to it.
Right.
But I had no idea what really goes on with sugar. And that it's really the combination of two molecules, glucose, which is the fuel of life. I mean, glucose is what our body runs on. Fructose, though, which is the same chemical compound, or is the same chemical equation, is the same chemical equation, right? The same amount of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen as glucose. The thing is that the shape of it is just off a little bit, so. It's part of, you know, organic chemistry it doesn't have the same shape as glucose. That difference in shape changes its function completely. Instead of being processed immediately by our cells, it goes to our liver, where it's stored as fat. And why is that important? Because not too very long ago, 20,000 years ago, 15,000 years ago, we were still hunter-gatherers, and we had to eat food for instant nourishment, but also retain some of those calories, some of that energy, to be able to sustain an additional walk to find the next food source.
Right.
And but 15,000 years to now is nothing as far as evolution goes. And so our bodies are still wired for that activity. So that's why eating properly and knowing about what you're eating is important, but also using your body, actually expending energy, is so important. And I mean, I'm sure you get the feeling after you go for a ride, how sharp your head feels, even when you're riding.
Yeah, you're locked in, yeah.
I'm sure you've had, I mean, for me, I think of when I'm out riding, I could be working on a problem regarding work, you know, something that I'm thinking about, and then go, okay, I'm about where I am, go out for a ride, and then you get these ideas. You just go, oh, man,
yeah,
that would be cool. And that doesn't mean that those are all locked in, you're going to do that.
Yeah.
You just start getting these different ideas. And when I'm out, I'm telling myself, hey, listen, relax on that stuff. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
But you just feel sharper when you get back. You might be tired, you know, from athletic exertion, but then you just feel sharper. And it keeps your body and brain going.
Right.
So that's why the food, I think, is so important. And I find it fun. Although the way I look at the kitchen is I want to get in and out as fast as possible and live to tell about it and have something really good to eat.
Right. And this is actually, so I just pulled up the website and it's great. I actually am probably going to use this a little bit myself. So it's for those of you listening, it's gotta-eat.com. And it looks like you've got all kinds of different recipes kind of sectioned off for people.
Mm-hmm.
Drinks, grains, how-to stuff. I mean, this is solid. So definitely make sure that you guys check this out, because this is there's a lot of you do this all yourself?
I do, yeah.
This is awesome. Like, there's a lot of content here. So real quick here, I do want to jump back to VOMAX for a mm-hmm. second. And I have a couple questions. One, you mentioned team stuff, right? Like, you mentioned sponsorship and you mentioned working with athletes for developing the product. Do you guys have a sponsor program right now? Are you guys working with sponsored athletes? Is that something?
No, we're
that
not yet working
exists?
With. I mean, we just took over ownership in January, so it's been 4 months. We've got 4 months under our belt.
Okay.
We have a kid who's a highly competitive athlete, you know, working with us now. He's
right.
actually an employee of VOMAX, and so he has connections to other highly competitive athletes.
Right.
And we don't have anybody that we're sponsoring yet, but we would love to do that, especially as we're developing products. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, not just to say, okay, you're wearing VOMAX stuff, but, all right, you're helping to make these products, which I think just adds legs to the whole idea of sponsorship instead of just, here, you wear here, can you be an influencer for us? All right, great, that's nice. But what about actually participating in the development of what we're doing?
Right.
That, I think, has some...
I agree. That's more important.
Has
I think
grit
it's
to it.
People think sponsorship like, oh, you're getting paid the big bucks for that. But I think that's not even the most important part of it for either
yeah.
party. The most important part is getting the most out of it, right?
I mean,
that's the idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
I might have a kid for you. That would be that's pretty good. So we should talk about that afterwards.
Right,
I don't
cool.
want to throw him under the bus or over the bus or whatever for the podcast. But
especially if he's wearing bright stuff, I'd like him to be safe.
Yeah. No, we'll take care of him. Yeah, we'll take care of him. Last thing I wanted to talk about here was the team stores. VOMAX does team stores.
Yep.
What's the deal with that? What kind of program is that?
Well, we hook up with teams to help get access, you know, have them get access to their clothing, so the stuff that they design. And then, okay, so I was talking about the three real pillars to Brights, which was, first of all, improve visibility, improve cyclist and runner visibility on the road. And then the second part was giving back to, or working well, supporting, not giving back, but certainly giving back, but supporting the retail industry. And then, especially during this transitional period, combining brick and mortar with online, but also contributing to community efforts to improve cycling, running, and driving safety. And so by using our clothing first as a product that's cool and fully functional, but also as a fundraising element or feature that they can use to help fund their direct effort. So instead of saying, oh yeah, we have a you have an account that's that does charitable, you know, a charitable account, a foundation or something like that, right? Instead of saying, okay, yeah, we got this really cool foundation, whatever you want to call it, and yeah, a portion of proceeds goes to this foundation to improve cycling, running, and driving safety, wherever.
Right.
So you could be here in Wilbraham, you know, have the Wilbraham Bike Club. I don't know if such a thing exists. Mm-hmm. And then contribute into that, and a percentage of those proceeds goes into the foundation, but the money's actually being spent in California. You know, well, how does that affect me here in Wilbraham? Well, no. With these team stores and with the being directly connected with clubs, events, with different teams, no. Whatever proceeds you make, there's a portion that goes right into your effort. So you get to keep that as a contribution to your local effort. So it's about being tied into the communities, and I think in a cool, innovative way, and actually get some rubber on the road, which is what it's all about.
Okay. And I know I said that was the last thing I wanted to mention, but I lied. That's not really the last thing. The last thing that I actually wanted to talk about is events and partnership stuff that you guys are doing, because I think that's a good... Mm-hmm. That's indicative kind of what you guys are going to be doing going forward, I guess, is the type of organizations that you guys involve yourself with, I guess. So at the moment, you guys are involved with the American Cancer Society mm-hmm. and Ride to Remember, right? Mm-hmm. Could you speak a little bit to those two organizations?
Yeah, sure. Well, American Cancer Society is near and dear to my heart because my mom was a radiation oncologist, and she actually also had a few cancers that she had to deal with in her life. One of them had to do with just the handling of radium. She was one of the first female oncologists or radiation oncologists. And way back when she started out, she actually had to handle radium for some surgeries. Just bring it she wasn't a surgeon, but bring it to the operating room. And ended up being affected by that. So I've always had I got to see my mom in action at work, and the compassion that she had for her patients was true, inspirational. In that, I wear that now. I go, okay, Ma, you're a part of what right. I do, and I dig it. It's just terrific. And so there's been a personal connection to cancer, and I thought, okay, what can we do? And then VOMAX had a few accounts. So there's different rides around the country that are cancer rides. And there's one in central Massachusetts called Bicycles Battling Cancer. And I did that ride last year.
Yep.
And then through VOMAX now, we at the same time were approaching the American Cancer Society. What they wanted to do was nationalize their program, so find one company to outfit all their rides in the country. And so we bid for that, and we got the bid, and we're still actually ironing out we're a part of them, and then we're going to be marketing what we do with them to promote American Cancer Society and our involvement with that. But it's a way of giving back, and we certainly give to that organization through the clothing that we sell. So the price that we sell our clothing is actually donating. You know, we are donating back to the cause, and so that's a lot of fun. And then personally, being involved in one of the rides is a lot of fun too.
Yeah.
So we have stake in that, and it's just great. And then the Ride to Remember is a terrific ride out of Springfield. So it's a ride by the Springfield Police to remember. I think the line is fallen but not forgotten. So these are police officers that were killed in line of action, or to commemorate them. And now, actually, this year, what's really cool is firefighters are part of
the ride. Yep, they're
expanding
the ride, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I was at the board meeting when they decided to do that. One of our jerseys was rolled out so they could see. It was actually a digital version, but, you know, here was the design, and they actually have a couple of the jerseys now. I mean, unfortunately, last year there was a firefighter from Peabody who was training for this ride, and he had ridden the ride the year before, and he got killed, got hit by a car.
Kidding.
Yeah, So it's, and she, his family was commemorated at the State House when we finished the ride last fall. So, but it's just terrific to be involved in an event like that. And the guy who heads up the that ride, his name's he just retired, but he was a sergeant with the Springfield Police, John Delaney. And I remember talking with him last year, and he goes, "Bruce, this is gonna be the best ride you've ever had." I go, "Okay." And so we take off out of Springfield. I said, "John, you know, the bar is awfully high." And he goes, "Well, just wait." And I'll tell you what, it was incredibly well supported.
It's amazing.
Over 100 miles from Springfield to Boston. The hills, you know, for this part of the country, I don't recall the hills, maybe it was just too pumped up, being too wild, but it was just a gorgeous ride. And then there are mandatory stops along the way. There's an 18-wheeler that's ahead of us, full of food. And the camaraderie, I thought, was just terrific. And we got to Boston in the late afternoon. We're out at the State House for a ceremony to commemorate the end of the ride. But the whole thing was absolutely terrific. And then the jerseys that they wear, everybody wears either police, or now it's going to be police or fire jersey, but the riders all have to wear a uniform jersey. And when we make those, VO Max makes those. So, yeah.
Cool. So to wrap this up here, I guess, so we talked about a few different companies here that you're involved with. Bright's Apparel, where can people find, I guess we'll do them all in one here, Bright's, VO Max, and Gotta Eat, Can't Cook, is that what that's what it's called?
Right? Yeah.
Are you on social media with all these? Where can we find VO Max on social media? Where can we find Bright's on social media or online?
Yeah, well, VO Max, so it's VOMax.com.
Yep.
And VO Max, by the way, people are like, why the heck do you call it VO Max? Well, VO Max is max performance. I mean, that's maximum oxygen consumption when you're, you know, full out active, you know, full out pushing your body. That's the maximum you are maxed out then. So, which I love, because that equates to high performance. And, you know, we're working with people, we're going to be working with racers and go, all right, this is where this is going. And also with people who, you know, just want to ride just to get out and rip it on the road. So that's where you can find VO Max. We're also on Facebook. We'd love to get some more likes or have people go to our site. We've got to get some more content on there to spruce that up. And we're working with Hampshire Marketing to get that going, and as well as doing that organically. And then Bright's, that line of clothing is actually VO Max's first retail line of clothing. So it has the Bright's name. It's like when you go to another, I won't say the company, but you go to another main company and then they have a smaller company, you know, somebody else might be named after an athlete or something else. And you go, okay, that's their line, but it's made, you know, the partner company is actually manufacturing that line. And so it's the same thing with Bright's. Bright's is a VO Max product, and it's our first, it's our first retail line, and hopefully we're hitting that with a nice bright splash. So that's pretty cool. And then so I've got there's the brightswear.com site, but that takes you right to if you were to make an order, you go seamlessly right to the VO Max site to actually make that purchase. Okay. And then the Gotta Eat, Can't Cook is not part of VO Max. It's just out there on its own. It's not. I have no ads, no commercials on the thing. It's just about giving food. You know. Helping to enable people to empower themselves. Nobody can empower anybody else, but we can provide the skills and content to do that, and that's what this is all about.
Well, that's awesome. Once again, thank you, Bruce Treader. I appreciate you coming on the show here.
Thanks, my pleasure, Adam. It was a lot of fun talking.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. And be sure to follow these guys on social media at VO Max. Check out the website. Check out the product. Stuff is great. And definitely check out us on social media if you haven't yet. It's Out of Podcast, or at Out of Podcast. Thanks, guys. Bye.